You're listening to Robert Kelly's
You Know What, Dude?
On the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Hey, what's up? It's Bill Burr, Joe DeRosa.
Hey, everybody, it's Robert Kelly.
And we're here to tell you that the three of us wrote a book. We wrote a book called Cheat, A Man's Guide to Infidelity.
The title pretty much says it all. It's filthy, it's funny, and it's available now.
And since we spent 2 years of our lives writing this goddamn thing, we'd really appreciate it if you went out and bought it right now.
Go to Amazon.com or your local bookstore and get a copy of Cheat, A Man's Guide to Infidelity. It'll make you laugh.
Oh, and there's also a bonus. The book also includes a link to watch our short film, which is also called Cheat, that we got into the Tribeca Film Festival. We're really proud of it.
So please, get the book so you can watch the movie, Cheat. The book and the movie, available now.
That's it. No excuses, no nothing. God damn it, help us out. Go buy Cheat.
Cheat.
Cheat. A Man's Guide to Infidelity.
Hey, gang. This is Colin Quinn.
This is Jim Norton.
This is Dennis Leary.
This is Opie from A Lot of Things.
This is Burt Kreischer.
Stan Cook, and you are listening to Robert Kelly's You Know What, Dude?
You Know What, Dude?
You Know What, Dude?
Testing, test, test. All right, we're in, man.
Do you keep these on the thing?
Yeah, leave them on. Put them on. They're very comfortable, Joe.
They are.
They're very comfortable, Joe.
They are very comfortable.
They're nice, right?
Who made these?
I don't know. Some fucking...
Like a company or a person?
Company. Company. Yeah. I bought those at B&H. They're earmuff scuffs. Mm. I don't know what the fuck they are.
They're nice.
How's your coffee?
Good.
Welcome back.
Oh, did it
Welcome
start?
Welcome back. You know me, dude. Come on, son. That's right. That's right, motherfucker. You guys, Jesus Christ. I mean, if you go to the Twitter, people have fucking been asking for it.
They have.
They've been asking for it.
I was just on the road and I was getting asked for it.
Yeah. One guy said, why don't you go back where you belong, Joe? That's what he said.
Because I've been replaced by a fucking dirty Aussie.
Yeah, yeah.
And a fucking elephant voice.
Jesus Christ. He said, how about going back to the YKWD podcast where you belong? That's right, Billy Mac 1331. Woohoo!
Dude, I was just in San Fran and they were... and. A lot of guys ask me after the show, when are you doing a podcast episode? When are you doing it?
Right.
And I was like, soon, man. We keep talking about it, but we haven't done it yet. So
I know.
Here it is.
Here it is. And it's a fucking, nobody knows. This was like, you know, the other people, Kelly's not here.
No.
Monster Voice isn't here.
No.
Just me and you.
Who's the other guy?
There's no other regular. Joe List does it a lot.
Okay.
Baby Mouth. Baby Mouth Joe. He does it a lot.
He does have a baby mouth.
I love that. This is the funny part about that is that I said that to you. I've said that to a couple people, and that's the exact response. People are like, oh my God, it is a small mouth. Like it hits people after.
It's disgusting.
It's not, Jesus. Joe doesn't, you didn't change anything, did you, DeRosa? I forgot how fucking evil this show used to be.
Yeah, it used to be real rotten. It used to be us just trashing people for fucking hour.
Yeah, Joe List does it, or they call him the new Joe.
Once
in a while.
I've heard that. Mm.
But that's a rotating seat. I mean, Joe can't, you know, we had Nate Bergazzi this week. So, you know, Burr was on. You know, I don't know when this is coming out. This one is actually, we're doing a special one today because of... our book.
Yeah.
Our book, which I hold.
Right there.
In my fucking hand, dude.
Yeah. I mean, it looks great, man. I was really excited when I got it.
Dude, let me tell you. First of all, the one that they sent us in the mail, what's that called?
The galley copy.
Oh, I knew you'd know. Because you need to know that for a conversation you're going to have later.
I didn't know till they told us what it was called. Dude, I just remembered.
But I knew you'd know, Galley. You pick up on, that's why you're better in the business than me. Because you pick up on those little things that you need to know.
I just don't, you know why that stuck in my head? Because it sounds like pirate. It sounded like a pirate thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, like this, a pirate word.
This is the galley copy was kind of cheesy. It was kind of like, oh, I was like, fuck. Yeah. And then they sent us another revised galley or whatever the fuck that. And I thought that, all right, this is the book. And I didn't like it, but I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it.
No, yeah, it still looked like. Like some fonts were out of place. Something was off.
Shiny. It was a little too shiny.
Yeah, and it didn't have that textured cover. It was just a bright, solid color cover.
Yeah.
And it didn't look right. But then that one with the rounded
edges.
Yeah,
this is the book. Yeah. I like this. Is embossed.
Yeah.
It's embossed, nice and shiny. The colors are great. It looks like red leather.
Yeah.
The corners are rounded.
Yeah, it's nice, man. Yeah, it's nice.
The back is beautiful. It's it's a really sexy evil. You know what I mean? Like what was the book in Evil Dead?
Oh, the book of the Necronomicon.
Yeah, that's it. I knew you'd know that too.
I have owned that movie for a very long time.
Yeah, it's very sexy, man.
It is. It looks great. I love little details like this, but on the spine on the front there, see that little faint, like pre-crease, whatever you call it?
Yeah.
I love that they put that because then you open the book and it, guess what? It doesn't get all shitted up. You know what I mean? Like it's going to look nice forever. Right. Because they've got that little thing there, so when you open it, the cover doesn't crease.
Oh, not this book. This book, no. As soon as your girl finds this book, it's going to be fucking shredded. The good thing about this book is you're going to have to buy another one and another one.
That's a good point.
Well, here it is, man. Our book, we've been talking about this for a year.
Yeah, we've been sort of plugging it for a year, right?
Yeah, this is coming out of the fruits of... our labor. We got together and we wrote a movie and we filmed it, and it got into the festival and everybody's like, where's the movie? Where can we see it? We held off on it for this very reason, because of this book.
Yeah.
We got an offer from Simon & Schuster. Let's get into it. I mean, I like going into it a little bit. You know, I like the details. When you hear, you know what I mean? Like the backstory.
Yeah, it's a nice little story.
I got a call from you. I was in Aruba, and they got into a bidding war.
Yeah, there was two or three companies, right, that were interested in.
Yeah.
And were, did you just look at me because I made it sound worse because I said
no.
Two or three? You said a war, and I said two or three. I didn't mean to do that.
No. No, that's a bidding war. I mean, you can't get into a bidding war with eight people. That's just ridiculous. Eight fucking publishing houses. No, I think it was two or three.
Yeah.
And well, look, here it went in. They came to us and they said, can you write a book? And we were like, okay.
Yeah. Well, even farther back than that,
right?
Apostle came to us and said, we think your movie is a good basis for a book.
Right.
And then we talked to Lydia, the book agent, who's still our agent, and she said, here, we were like, we can't even read almost. You know what I mean? Like, how are we going to write this?
Right.
And she was like, you got to write that 20. She goes, you write a 20-page proposal.
Right.
And little did we know, once we all, the three of us started writing, we were kind of like, oh, okay.
Well, we all fit like a puzzle. I think, you know, what Billy did, what you had, what I had to offer was able to write this book. We all, like, worked together well. You know what I mean? I mean, look, our personalities are fucking rough.
Right.
You know what I mean? But what Billy brought to the table, what you brought to the table, what I brought to the table, it mixed well to write a book.
I agree.
I think if any one of us came by ourselves to write a book, it wouldn't have been as good.
No, I agree. I think there were people that we were all there at one time or another to make something funnier or to add information or to reword or whatever. So, you know, once it all came together, it really worked. It was nice. And then, do you remember this? She told us to write the proposal in the beginning of November, and she said it needs to be done by Thanksgiving because we need to try to sell it immediately after Thanksgiving, because that's the last period of a lot of book buying.
Yeah.
Until a few months into the new year or whatever.
Right.
So we got it done, and she literally was just like, I'm shopping it 2 weeks after for the 2 weeks after Thanksgiving. It's either going to sell or it's not.
Right.
And then, like, literally, like, 2 weeks of the day, she's like, okay, here are the offers.
I was in Aruba. I'm in Aruba.
Yeah.
I'm on my 10-day vacation
uh-huh.
that my fucking wife hasn't booked yet, which I'm very pissed about.
It's creeping up, dude. You better book it soon.
I know, Joe. Yeah, why don't you fucking call her and tell her? I go to Aruba every fucking year.
Yeah, why didn't she book it yet?
I don't know, dude. I don't fucking know. She said the flights are expensive. I sell a dog. Blow somebody on the side. Get that money. You know what I mean? I mean, come on, son.
Right.
How expensive is it?
I don't know. It must be expensive, though, if she put it on hold.
We're not going to fucking North Korea. It's not that. It's Aruba. It's a four-hour flight. It gets, what is it, 600-something bucks each? Drop the money.
Listen to this guy flaunting it around.
Sorry.
It's a lot of money, Bob, to a lot of people, you know?
To who?
Don't lose touch with your listenership here. You know.
I meant to say 350 bucks.
That's still a little high.
210 for both of us, round trip?
There you go. Start talking price line. Keep it in the wheelhouse.
So, anyways, I'm in Aruba. I'm hanging out. I'm having a great time. I'm relaxing. And then all of a sudden you get that call. And they were like, we're in a bidding war.
Mm-hmm.
And Simon & Schuster came back with an offer, and that's it. And it was a nice offer.
It was very nice. Yeah.
A lot more than other people make.
Yes. Yes.
But we had to split it.
Yeah, that part sucked.
Oh, that sucked. But the other part sucked, too. You don't know that they give you that big number, which we're not gonna tell you. You'll never fuck know. Could be $2 million or fucking 10.
Exactly. Like, no matter how high it is, you don't enjoy it because they whittle it down into these installments, and by the time your commissions and taxes get taken out, you're like, really? This is it? And they don't give it to you till the book is done.
It's like getting paid $1 million in pennies every day. You get a penny a day for a million fucking days.
Yeah, it stinks.
It stinks. You, by the time you get it, you have so much shit to pay, so many bills. It's like, just take this check.
Yeah, yeah.
Just take this.
Totally, totally. Ugh. Oh, and it hit the same time, too, that because we were writing the script for the TV show.
Yeah.
And remember, we had to join the Writers Guild.
Yes.
So there was all that money. Yeah. That was so expensive. It was so many payments to join. We had to join. It was mandatory.
Mandatory. So they take your money. It's gone.
I remember calling the lawyer and him being like, we've got a payment here for you, but you also owe the Writers Guild $1,500.
Oh.
Just send it to them. Forget it.
Yeah,
it's
just
fine.
Keep it. Just keep it.
Oh, it sucked.
Just keep it. But so we get that call. I mean, look, I was flipping out, dude. I remember going, I mean, look, I don't know. At the time, I didn't know which your you use. I wrote, yeah, YA, which bugged the shit out of you.
Because it sounds like Fargo. It sounds like, yeah. When you read it, I was like, what is he writing? I didn't even know what you were writing the first few times. I was like, the fuck does ya mean?
I got it. I had this girl in Stand Up Records re-release my album, and they had all these people review it. The first album, Robert Kelly Live, which I did not sign on for. I did not sign on to get an album I put out 10 years ago reviewed.
Right.
I don't need that.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And one girl, Elise, actually from whatever, actually reviewed it and honestly and fucking panned it.
Was it the girl from Boston? Or D.C.?
I don't know. I don't know.
She's...
What?
I'm trying to think if it's this girl I met at a party a couple weeks ago that reviews stand-up records.
Well, I was her first one.
Oh, then no. Okay.
I was her first one. Look, she's a good enough girl. She came on the show.
She panned it,
came on the show.
Okay.
And I'm reading her review, and I couldn't pronounce any of her words. Pseudo.
Oh, my God.
I went, pseudo? She went, what'd you just say? She called my shit joke scatological.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, bitch, are you shitting me? You don't need to review fucking comedy.
That's a hilarious sentence. Are you shitting me? My shit joke is scatological? That's fucking too good, dude.
You better
write that down.
It was funny.
That's hilarious. But she really panned the CD?
Yeah.
Like, panned it hard or said, well, like, I...
No, she gave a couple, you know, here and there. You know, she honestly reviewed it. That's it. It was a... Look, I can't blame her. It was her first gig for this website, and she's going to do what they tell her to do.
Right.
You know, I told her she didn't need 11 paragraphs with huge syllable words.
Yes.
For a 10-year-old CD, but she complimented my other CD and said, you know, but just the tips, and said, it's not this. And she... It was honest. We had her on. It was a fucking blast, but
good.
I couldn't even read her review.
That's so funny. So, man. That's so funny. But, so, and you're a published author.
That's what I said to her. I go, I'm in the writers union, motherfucker. Welcome to show business. I'm a published author. What's up?
Oh my God.
I was college,
God.
Bitch.
Can I just say something to everybody listening to this that has three novels sitting in their desk? Ha ha. It's so mean. It's so wrong. I know it's not right. I know this shouldn't be happening right now.
Dude, you, I could understand. Billy, I could, but no. Me, dude, I wrote, yeah. I wrote yours with no apostrophe S,
but
for years. I got beaten out of it on Twitter.
But you had... Here's the thing, dude.
Yeah.
It's different components.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm a great writer either.
Right.
I know I understand grammar, or had a better knowledge of grammar than you did, but you had a better knowledge of the subject matter than I did. So it all just comes together. I mean, you see it all the time with books that, you know, when Anthony Kiedis writes his autobiography, it always says with this other guy, because they have the other guy there to be like, well, I'd phrase it like this and da 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 da.
Right.
But there's no book without Kiedis being like, here are the stories, douche. You know what I mean? Like, you had the stories. You had a lot of stories.
Here are the stories, douche. That would have been a great name for a book. Well, yeah, dude. It went from that day on the beach to coming back elated with the figure in my head.
Yeah.
The actual, oh my God, we're writing a script for FX. And we're writing a book for Simon & Schuster.
Mm-hmm.
This is ridiculous.
Right.
All from this little thought, this little conversation me and you had in a diner on 9th Ave in Hell's Kitchen. And we just put that work in. And it all of a sudden we're in the writer's union, we're published authors, we have this book coming out. But let me tell you this. This book was a motherfucker.
Yeah, a lot of work.
A lot of work, but not so much the work. I didn't mind as much because it was really I learned so much from you two. I learned so much about writing. I learned a lot about grammar. I learned how to put a sentence together. I learned how to express my thoughts better.
Right.
So it was really good for me, the work, but it was tedious. But after the book was done, the editing, that process.
The worst.
That was the hard part for me.
The worst. The worst thing. And I mean, it was when I was like, this would be a lot easier if just one of us wrote this. At that point.
Right.
Just at that point. Because editing, if you could do it on your own watch and you're like, fuck it, I'll come home tonight, I'll do some of it, I'll do some tomorrow. But when it was like, we have to edit over Skype with four people, the editor plus the three of us, on the phone. That was brutal, man.
And we had to go through it twice. We went through it with a woman editor, and we finally got all her notes and was like, okay. And then she left. And we had to meet this new guy, Mike. And the book almost, people don't know, this book almost fell apart because we didn't take to Mike.
Yeah, there was a little rough water in the beginning because we were under the impression that we were done.
Yeah.
We were like, we're done. We did it. We went through this with the editor. And then he came in and was like, no, you're not done yet, man. There's work to do here.
Yeah, and but the thing is that we were, when he came in and said that, I was like, fuck you.
Right.
Fuck we. Who are you?
Right.
But he actually gave a shit.
Yeah.
He really cared. He wanted to put a good book out.
Right.
And he wanted it to make sense.
And not to say that our previous editor didn't care. It was just two very different people.
I'll say it. No, I'm kidding. I love saying that.
She's a great editor, but it was just two different people, and he saw it in a different way, and we, you know, and it was only really slightly different. He was just like, we need these other things in there, so then we had to go back and write more.
He wanted it to be a good book. Oh, yeah, that was the worst. Writing more?
Oh, my Christ, dude. I wanted to shoot myself when he said that. When he was like, you got to go, because that's what made us go, fuck you.
Billy was mad too.
Oh my God. I think we need four more chapters, guys. Do you?
Yeah.
Fuck, dude, it sucked.
Yeah, we were done, motherfucker. Give us our fucking $8 and let us go.
Oh my God. Yeah.
But here's the thing. We went down and usually this is what I say. Let me meet somebody face to face before I think they're a cunt. I'll be in a room with you for 10 minutes. I'll know if you're a piece of shit or you're actually an all right person. I just have that instinctual gift of, you know, I know when somebody's phony.
Right.
And when we were like, let's go meet this guy, me and you. We went and met him. And I knew right away this guy was an all right guy. I knew right away that Mike was a fucking, he wasn't a piece of shit. He was actually pretty genuine, and he just wanted to put out a better book than we had. He wanted to make sure it was the best it could be, because it was now it was on his table.
Right. And also, you know, you go, if you're in this, I'd say right around the 10-year mark in this business, in the entertainment business, whether it's writing or acting or comedy, whatever.
Yeah.
I say right around 10 years is when you start to go, I fucking know who this guy is. You know what I mean? You start having, you can look at the outside building of a network and go, I'll tell you who's in every office in that network, right? You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think we had a very stereotypical image in our head about what we thought Mike was going to be. Because I thought he was going to be this hot shot. I thought he was going to come down with the hair and the fucking coat.
Really?
Like, hey, guys, look, I get it, man. I'm cool. You know, like one of those guys. And you're like, this fucking guy's going to suck up to us, to our face. And he's going to... Then he came out in that sweater with his beard.
I wanted to hug him.
Yeah, I was like, this guy reads. This guy really likes books. He really is trying to give us good notes on a book.
You know, this guy's read a lot of books.
He looks like he has read every... There was a book reading contest. He's who I would try. I'd be like, Mike, we can win this thing.
Yeah, he's a spelling bee judge.
Yeah. Who does he look like? He looks like, I'm trying to think of the perfect.
Looks like a young Santa Claus.
He does.
If Santa Claus was young and bisexual.
He looks like if Kevin Smith read real books.
Yeah, and
not comic books.
And ate a lot more. I can say that because I'm a big guy, too.
He's slimmer than Kevin Smith.
Is
Kevin
he?
Kevin Smith was too fat to get on an airplane a few years ago.
Me and Mike are big boys. Me and Mike are both big boys. Who's bigger, me or Mike?
You're big in different ways.
That's a good way of saying it, Joe. You know what, dude? You're going to do well in Hollywood.
Exactly.
You're big in different ways.
I'm going to do well in a marriage. That was a fucking answer your wife answer. No, you're big in different ways. He's like bookwormy big.
Right.
And you're more like formerly athletic, put on some weight big. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm like a bouncer at a shitty bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not like one of the new hip clubs.
Right.
I'm a bouncer on Staten Island at fucking Big Angie's bar.
How Bobby, go over there and make sure these people don't get in.
Big Angie's.
I met her.
It's the worst.
I love her.
She's
a sweetie.
I'm sure she is, but the show just, it's like, all right. You know what? Why trash her? I'm not going to trash her.
Yeah, why trash her? Because she's in the mob? Yeah.
Yeah.
She's only a fucking boat ride away, Joe. It's not like we're in L.A.
That's right. I started talking with the show at O&A, and somebody was like, I think she's one of the mob wives.
Yeah,
she is. I was like, it's not that bad of a show.
Dude. First of all, those chicks, those type of girls are my type of chicks. I like those girls for some reason, man. Staten Island broads, I like them. Oh. I fucking love them.
They're like Jersey chicks.
Oh, I love them.
I love
Jersey chicks are a little dirtier.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they'll fuck you with like a dirty ass. Like they worked all day and they didn't shower. And they got a little juice in their ass. Staten Island chicks are clean all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the Sex and the City girls would party in Staten Island once in a while.
Did you just bring Sex and the City up as a fucking example?
I'm trying to tie it all together to when I used to be on the podcast. I'm trying to bring it back to some old themes.
You're still not watching Sex and the City.
I got the fucking box set. I took a little break, but yeah, I'm still into it.
God damn it.
I haven't watched it in a long time. You know, part of the reason I have the apartment I have is because of that fucking show.
What?
part of the reason I have the apartment I have right now when I moved is because of that show.
Why? You wanted to be like Samantha?
I wanted to have a window to write in front of, like Carrie. That's why my computer's in front of the window like that.
I should hit stop. I should just hit stop. I should hit stop right now. If I cared about you as a friend, I would hit stop on this podcast right now.
You should. And here's the other part. I could have had a 2-bedroom apartment in Brooklyn or Queens for what I'm paying in Manhattan right now for that studio.
Right.
I could have had a fucking with a great big kitchen. And I didn't do it because I kept thinking about the episode of Sex and the City with, when Kim Cattrall kept going, I don't do the other boroughs, honey. Like, when she wouldn't go out to the Arrow. I was like, that's right. I can't leave Manhattan. Nobody wants to go to the other boroughs.
There's something about leaving Manhattan, dude. Dude, that psychologically makes I feel like I went backwards or I failed.
It stinks.
Well, I mean, I think you can leave when you have a kid.
Yeah.
When you have a kid, you can leave and hit a borough.
Yeah.
But not Staten Island. Never no. Staten Island. No. As a comedian, if you live in Staten Island, you're done. Unless you were born there.
There's no way to get off of it except that boat.
Yeah, you got to take a boat. There's that fucking boat.
Forget it.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I had... I was talking to Nikki Glaser about this recently. I said if I was in a relationship, I would move out to Queens, you know, into a nice place. Like if I had a girl and I was living with her, then I could deal with like we got a nice little block here on the side. But when you're a single dude and you're living out there, not only is it lonely because there's no like action going on around you. Mm. Try getting a fucking girl to go back with. I mean, forget it, dude. Forget it.
Dude, when I was looking to buy my place, we looked at a place over there for a little more money than I spent in Hell's Kitchen. It was a 3-floor old fire station that they gutted and modernized. Stainless steel, everything. It looked like something that, you know, Crockett would live in. Like when he was when he was pretending to be a drug dealer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dude, tri-level. Kitchen, first floor, as you come in. You know the door where the truck came out? All glass that fogged halfway so people couldn't see in. You could see out.
So what was... All glass meaning like like a wall in your living room was just this window?
Glass.
That's beautiful.
It was fucking... It had a sunken tub that attached to a walk-in shower. All modern, all chromed out, kitchen all modern. It was beautiful, but it was in Brooklyn.
What part of Brooklyn?
I forget, but it was just like, I can't live here. I can't do it.
I would have bought that shit.
I couldn't do it, dude. I can't live in Brooklyn. I can't go. At the end of the night, I need to know that I can walk home if need be.
Like as a survival kind of thing?
Just as a, like, okay, there's nothing sadder to me than see the comic with... At the end of the night after we're hanging out all night and the birds are chirping and he's going to go jump on a train to another train, but it's not running, so he has to go uptown and take that.
Well, you take a cab.
Okay, and then it's $30 a fucking... But getting a cab to Brooklyn, where are you going? Brooklyn, vroom, they're gone. I don't know you need the sound effect for that, vroom. But.
I got it. That's rough. They will take off. They will take off. Like you gotta do that slick shit and slide in the back seat. And as the door's shutting, we're going to Brooklyn. You know what I mean? Like, and they'll still give you attitude. You know?
And it's I don't know, dude. Living in the city, there's something about it. But I think I'm leaving soon.
I don't think I'm too far behind you.
Really?
Yeah.
Where are you gonna go?
You know, dude, I don't know, man. It depends. If I keep doing, you know, I'm doing all these web series and stuff. If I keep on that track and I keep going around and headlining with the frequency I am, I might fucking move out of New York.
To where?
I might move to, like, Austin or something like that and live, like, in a little bit of a...
Jesus Christ,
of a little
Joe.
More of a laid-back, like, artsy sort of environment or whatever. I don't know. It's just
is that what the dungaree jacket was for the other night?
Yeah, dude, it's happening. I got the corduroys, tattoos.
Hey, South by Southwest starter kit.
You got
a couple tattoos, a dungaree jacket, and a bike helmet.
Yeah, ready to fucking go. Oh, but God. I mean, listen, I love New York. I'm not shitting on it, but it's getting to a point where it's like, dude, I am paying such an astronomical level of rent at this point for what I'm getting in return for
it.
And it's like, what am I doing? Like, Manhattan, every day becomes less the thing that I wanted to be here for.
Right.
It's all going away. It's like it's all just becoming this big shopping mall kind of thing, and everything is very like big box store and what. And it's like that's fine. Like I'm not saying like I'm too good for that. I'm just saying like, all right, it's not worth the rent I'm paying to be around it. Like it's not that exciting. Like I want to get into an area that's unique and interesting. So
Austin is fucking, I mean, dude,
I mean, Austin's far, but you know,
Austin's far. I mean, I get it. It's unique and crazy and cool, but you know, it's gone, man. It's you're fucking gone.
Well, here's what I'm realizing though. I don't know how, what your take on this is, but when I go on the road a lot, I build the new 45 minutes to an hour of stuff.
Right.
And once I have it built, it's like I don't need to do spots and stuff. That was a big reason to be here. Spots, spots, spots. I don't need to do the spots. Like once that's in place, if I have a thing to work on, I'll go out and get on stage.
Yeah.
And if I don't, then I don't. And, you know, but you do spots on the weekend for money and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is like during the week now, I barely even do any spots because I'm like, I know what my new hour of stuff is. I'm going out on the road and I'm working on it there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to go do a spot on a Tuesday night at 11:30 for what? For $20 that I'm going to burn in cabs both ways. And then, you know, I feel like I could live in like another city. You go on the road, you come back, and there's enough shows during the week that you can get up if you need to work on shit. And then you go out on the road again.
I mean, you know? Look, you know, I've been doing Tuesday nights for the last 3-4 months just here at the cellar, Tuesday nights.
Right.
Tomorrow night I have I'm at the Stand. First time I was at another club in months.
Right.
You know, because I've been working on other shit.
Right.
And, you know, and then going on the road to do that, you know, to work.
Right.
So it's like I come back on Sunday and I don't want to fucking, I don't want, I got to leave Thursday.
Right.
What am I going to do? And, you know, unless I have that fucking, you know, that urge. Like last week, 2 weeks ago, I forced myself to go on stage and try some new stuff. And I actually got a bit out of it.
Right.
But it's like, unless I'm doing that, I don't, like, I could live anywhere. I could live outside the city and drive in.
That's what I'm saying.
But it's there's something about, look, I'm fucking getting a little wound up with this city. I'm the dog piss, the people. Every Friday and Saturday, there's a million people that I don't know in my neighborhood.
Right.
Walking the fuck around. But, you know, if there's something in me that, like, I need to pay my place off and own that before I can leave here. Because if I don't, if I leave it, if I leave and let go of this place, I'm fucking up.
Well, I don't think you're fucking up. I mean, but I understand what you're saying where there's that, you know, it's you set out with a goal and you want to see it through. You
yes.
want to own a place in full in Manhattan, and you're doing that right now.
Right.
At the same time, so if you rode that out, I wouldn't fault you for it. And if you bailed on it, I wouldn't fault you for it. I could see you doing either thing, and I go, oh, I get it. I would get either way. But, you know, you're right, dude. It's I mean, look, maybe the answer is you just go out to Brooklyn and you go, you know what, fuck it, man. I got to pay for $30 a cab each way.
Right.
But I'm only coming into Manhattan one night a week. You know what I mean? Or two nights a week. So who gives a shit?
I might go the other way. I might go Jersey.
You go Jersey?
I might get a house. If I'm going to go, I'm going to go. I'm going to get a house. I ain't getting a lavish apartment next to a fucking, you know, a dude with pit bulls that does paint with his own blood.
But I'm saying,
I ain't doing that.
But you get that house in Brooklyn that you were talking about. Like that kind of thing.
Yeah, but I think I'd go to Jersey, get a nice backyard, get some grass, get a river.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Maybe go a little up, maybe up, I don't know, somewhere else, you know?
Right.
Other than, you know, the city life. I don't know, man. It's weird because we're getting to that point where it's like, you know, I want to be, like, I look at, like, Zach Galifianakis lives on a farm.
Yeah.
And Chappelle lives on a farm somewhere. And these guys just said they made, but here's the thing, though. They made their money.
Right.
To where they can live wherever the fuck they want, I think.
Zach's been out there way, way, way before, like, The Hangover and all that shit.
Yeah.
He's been out there for a while. Now, he was
popular.
He was popular, but he was not cover of GQ fucking popular.
No,
like
he was
now,
college popular. He made a lot of money in colleges.
Right.
A lot of money.
But that's the, I mean, that's a place I've thought about moving to. Asheville, North Carolina. Did you ever go there?
Mm-mm.
It's unfucking believable, dude.
Really?
You're surrounded by the mountain ranges. I guess it's Appalachian Mountains there.
Went a date with Todd Hamilton fucking place?
I don't know. I never saw that movie.
Really? It's a good movie.
It's Tad Hamilton, though. I know that much.
Is it Tad?
Yeah.
It's Todd Hamilton.
No, it's Tad. I had to...
Okay.
I had to look it up and make sure it was Tad, because I thought the same thing. I was like, no, it's Todd. And somebody was like, no, it's literally the same conversation. And then but I was where you are.
Really? Wow, it is Tad, you cocksucker.
Yeah, whatever that means.
Tad. Ugh, that's stupid. He's so stupid.
But Asheville's a city that I'd never been to, and then I went when I started going down south and doing like the small venue tours and stuff. One of the venues I got hooked up was this place called The Lab in Asheville, North Carolina.
Right.
And dude, I drove into Asheville, and it was like mountains all around.
I love it.
You descend into the city.
Yeah, I know where it is.
Small.
I went rock hunting there. Gem hunting. That's right. Yeah.
I took a picture of the gem hunting thing on my way into town.
You did?
Did I ever send that to you?
No.
I stopped and took a picture of it because I was like, that's the fucking thing Bobby did.
That would have made me happy if you did that.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I can't believe I never did, to be honest with you. I pulled over just to take the goddamn picture.
Yeah. It's a scam.
Yeah.
They put the rocks in the dirt and they let you pretend that you found them.
That's so funny. It's like when you go to those, it's like at the end of Man on the Moon when he goes to the healer. That's supposed to pull the sickness out of you. The guy just puts chicken guts in his hand. But that town, dude.
How did they not pick that up? I remember seeing that on the news for the first time and be like, oh my God. He just pulled a demon out of this guy's belly.
It's so mean, dude. It's such a mean scam to run on somebody.
It's not even a good sleight of hand.
No, it's terrible.
You're holding the chicken liver in your fucking left hand.
It's fucking terrible. It's so bad. But that town is, I would, because that's the kind of town where it's like, you know what, man? I'm 50 years old.
Yeah.
And.
I thought you were younger.
Oh, I see what you did. I see what you did.
Men, 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 men. Ooh. Ooh.
That's the kind of town where you could be like, yeah, I'm 50 years old and I work at this convenience store,
right,
and it's a nice job and I like where I live. And
did you say you're working at a convenience store?
No, not me.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying, like, it's the kind of town where it's like you work to live, you don't live to work. You know, New York, it starts to get into this shit of like, well, how old are you and how much money do you have and what's your job and what's your career. I like those towns where it's like, dude, I can have a simple job like this.
Right.
It's just a simple service job, and I still have enough money to live in a decent place, and I can live the life I want to live, and I'm happy, and I hike, and I like places like that.
You hike?
No, not me. I'm doing the guy.
Oh, you do the guy. Okay.
Are you fucking with me?
No, I keep thinking. I keep thinking like this is things you want to do.
No, I'm just saying the environment.
Would you do there? You are saying all these things that you would never do.
No, I'm not saying I would never. I'm just saying, like, theoretically, I'd bike ride a lot.
You do now.
I'm starting to bike ride a lot. I like it.
You like bike ride. You have your bike with you tonight?
Nah, because it was raining, so I didn't ride it.
Right. Where do you park your bike?
There's posts everywhere, man. I never even realized they were there. They're fucking everywhere for your
bike.
So
you leave your bike out at night?
No. I bring it to my apartment at night.
Right.
But when I go somewhere on it, there's posts everywhere. There's all kinds of shit you can link it to. They tell you when you buy it, like, what not to link it to.
I bought a $900 bike. It folded in half. This was when folding bikes weren't even popular.
Right.
It was a full-size mountain bike that folded in half.
Right.
It had disc brakes. I remember, it was unfucking believable. And I parked it out in front of the Cosmic Diner when that was on 58th Street in Broadway. I went in. I came out around 20 minutes later. There was a cop car where my bike was, and someone stole my bike.
Did you lock it up?
I locked it up.
How did they steal it?
In front of a cop, they took it.
But how?
I don't know. They just took it. They cut it and took it.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's always a chance of that, I guess, you know? I mean, the guy, the thing he's, the cable and lock he sold me, he was like, this is the one, like, so.
Right.
I mean, they'd have to have something pretty serious to cut through this fucking thing. It's, but I don't know. Maybe, you know.
I watched a dude one night in front of my house across the street. Someone had their bike. I watched him through my window stealing it.
Really?
Yeah. Just sawing through the fucking kryptonite lock. And I kept going, hey. And he was I think he was Spanish. And he just kept looking around like, what the fuck?
That sucks.
I kept freaking him out. And then he finally left, and he left the bike.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have that kryptonite thing. My bike got stolen when I lived in Texas.
Really?
Actually, when I lived in Austin.
Really?
Yeah, me and my buddy, we rode down to this concert, and we locked our bikes together. We couldn't find a thing to lock them to.
That's so funny.
We locked them together, and we were like, nobody will take these. This is a nice community we live in. Fucking somebody just... jacked
me,
them both.
Me and Chris Bracci did the same thing 2 days after Christmas. He had a 10-speed fancy Italian bike.
Uh-huh.
I had a Huffy, like a Knight Rider version.
Like and the show, you mean?
Yeah, it was like a blacked out bike with just this crazy shit on it.
Right.
And we drove to McDonald's on our bikes and chained them together to a dumpster.
And that was it.
And they were just gone.
It's a terrible feeling, man.
Oh, it's fucking awful, especially as a kid, to know that there's evil exists out there.
It's a terrible feeling, man.
What a shit fucking person who steals bikes.
That's the only... I only ever had two things stolen from me. It was the bike, and when I was a kid, my cousin, who's an asshole, stole a cassette tape out of my room. It was there, and then it was gone, and he was talking about how much he loved this... It was a rapper called the DOC, and my cousin was telling me how much he loved him, and then it was just gone.
Right.
And then I called my cousin. I'm like, did you take that tape? He's like, no, dude, what are you talking about, man? And he fucking stole it. And it's just like, you really feel violated, man. You're like, that was mine.
And it's gone.
Like, and yeah.
There's nothing more when you ever walk by a bike on the street that's still chained up, but the two wheels are gone, the seat's gone, and it's just a frame and a chain.
Yeah.
And they took everything else.
Yeah. The guy at the store taught me how to... He's like, here's how you got to weave the thing through the frame and everything so they can't take the wheels and shit.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know. I hope nobody steals a fucking thing.
Yeah, fuck it. Nobody will steal it. We'll put that good luck on you. But...
thank you.
Yeah, dude, it's weird that you're going to... You know, you're thinking the same... I'm thinking the same thing. Like, what am I doing here? But... You know, I'm kind of locked in, and I want to kind of see it through. But I do want a house, dude. I'm itching to have a backyard. I want a pool for some reason. I just want a pool.
Yeah.
You know, I want a backyard with a pool, like a built-in, not a big, crazy, just a simple house with a TV room.
Yeah, dude. Look, and the key is partnership. You got to be in a... You got to have some. You got a wife, so you can do that. It's nice to build a house with your. I mean, my friend's married, and they bought a house in Atlanta, and it's like, it's this thing that they work on together, and it's the house. It's cool when you visit, seeing the house get better and better,
right?
You know, and they're building a home together. You know,
what if this book kind of segue back?
Yeah.
To this book. I know we were telling the backstory. We got a little sidetracked, but that's some interesting shit. What if this book becomes big and you make some cash? Are you gonna would that make a difference for you? If you had not fuck you money, but you know, a few hundred in the bank where you could live, not have to worry about your rent and not have to worry about this big impending fucking nut every month. That you have, would that help? Or would you stay?
Would I stay in New York?
Yeah, or is it something more than that?
Look, if I could live exactly the way I wanted to in New York, in the exact place I wanted to, and money was not an object for that, then yeah, you know, it might, but I can't even imagine like what that would take. I mean, dude, moving out of the place I was in into this new place, the amount of money that cost me. And the fucking, it wasn't a headache in the sense of time. It happened very quickly. I settled it all in the matter of 24 hours.
Right.
But the headache of prove yourself, show us your bank account, show us this, show us that. You got to make this many times. It's ridiculous. New York, you have to prove on paper that you make 40 times the rent. And if you have a cosigner, you have to prove that the cosigner makes 80 times the rent. It's like, dude, are you guys out of your... Because it's just a fuck you game here.
Dude, try buying a place.
Oh, I can't even... I can't imagine.
It was the worst experience I've ever had. By the time we got it, and by the time we were in the house, I didn't give a shit about it anymore. I was like, just fuck it. Start... clean the floors. Redo the... Let's just go. I was miserable. I was so, oh my God, this is a dream of mine. By the time it was done...
Right.
Because I didn't have... fuck you money. I had enough money to do it. And they want years of fuck you money. They want to see that you can pay this motherfucker off. And I did it, thank God, before the whole fucking... Thank God it kind of bad. Because if I waited literally a year, or I would have got my place for way cheaper.
Right.
But I did it right at the peak of the fucking market. So I paid full motherfucking price for my joint.
Yeah, yeah.
And but they put me through the ringer, man. It was like giving birth.
It's really insulting. It's really demeaning.
Yeah.
Starts to make you feel like you're not a man, or like you're not good enough.
Right.
It's a real shitty feeling. And, you know, when I almost moved to L.A., I mean, I had a place lined up. All I had to do was say the word. I called this lady, the landlord.
Yeah.
You know, like, not landlord, like, sole proprietor. Like, you know, right. She worked for the company.
Right.
Just like here. And I called her and I said, you know, I'm the guy that might move into so-and-so's place. And he gave me a good recommendation. She goes, any guy that's cool with him, we know is a good guy. Don't worry about it.
Ugh.
We just got to run a credit check. And I go, my credit's like probably 600 something. It's not great. She goes, oh, please, you're fine. Have you ever had a bankruptcy or a foreclosure or anything? And I was like, no, no. And she's like, you're fine.
L.A.'s the best.
It's like, yeah, it's like that's how it should be.
L.A.'s
like,
the best.
It's ridiculous. Nobody's asking for a handout here.
But yeah, but here's the thing is that it's because it's a fucking island. It's because everybody wants to live here. There's no room for anybody.
Right.
I mean, you got, you know, pretty wealthy people living with other people. You know, you got these people that have these apartments that, you know, have two other roommates.
Yeah.
You know, because it's so hard. I'd rather be a roommate in the city and pass that than have to fucking have a place.
I'll tell you what, dude. I'm thinking about after this lease is up, getting a roommate again if I stay.
You should.
Moving into a place with somebody really cool, like that I can hang with.
You should.
Maybe probably a chick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Should get Kelly. You and Kelly should move in together.
So, you know, probably a chick. You know.
So anyways.
No, I'm joking. But you know what I mean? Yeah, like I'm...
Come on, man.
You I'm know just what? Joking.
Joe,
I did a set tonight. It's a comedy.
Comedy? Is she from East of London?
I love that.
You can't do accents.
I can't.
Oh, that's funny.
I can't.
So let me go back a little. 1 second, dude. I want to go back to where we were. We got this book deal. We wrote this fucking book. It really took a lot of our... It took a lot out of us. It took a lot of our heart and soul to get this book, because we didn't want to write a shitty book that was just trying to be goofy. We wanted to write a legit book, and I think we did that.
Yes.
I think me and you and Billy really wrote a funny, unique look at the subject, the taboo subject of cheating.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think, you know, I'm glad it's fucking over. I'm glad the fans can finally read the book. But most of all, the one thing that we held back from everybody was the movie. That
yes.
we held it back. Look, we wanted it to come out with the book. We wanted it to be part of the book. We wanted you to, you know, we didn't think it would take this fucking long. Let's put it that way.
Right.
So I think if we knew it would take this long, we would have let you guys seen the movie a lot earlier. But look, it is what it is. Now, not only do you get to get this book, you're actually going to see the film that we wrote and produced together.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe directed it, and we all started. And it's a real funny 15-minute, interesting, hilarious, unique comedy that mm-hmm. killed in Tribeca.
Yeah, killed. Killed at the screenings, man. It was awesome.
It was insane.
It was awesome.
Greatest,
that's the greatest feeling I've ever had in my career.
Really?
Literally. Topped every... It topped doing a special. It topped doing the half-hour special.
Really?
Sitting in that theater on the opening night and seeing, like, like the nerves of like, oh my God, is this going to go over? Please God, let this. Yeah. And we were last. Yeah. Please let the audience still have energy when it gets to, you know, all these fears. And then watching it kill and watching it peak to the applause break at the climax of the, I remember I called you guys.
Yeah.
You guys were away.
Yeah. We were all on the road, right?
Yeah. You came to the second night or whatever it was. But I remember how excited I was. Dude, I was beside myself with excitement. Like, it was the best feeling ever. And you know what I mean. You saw it in the fucking theater.
Yeah, it was it was pretty fucking amazing, man. I just love the fact that it was nothing. It didn't exist. It was a thought. It was a story. It was a conversation.
Yeah.
That like millions of other conversations I've had with you and Billy and all our other friends. And we took it. And grabbed it and made something with it. It's just like, you know, it's like blows me away. You know, like some guys can take a tree and make a house, or take a piece of steel and make a car, or, you know, all this crazy shit that people make. And it's, you know, they always, that creativity thing or the artist thing. I kind of get a little, all right, I'm a stand up. You know what I mean?
Right.
That was the one thing that kind of finally, you know, took me away from, you know, I just tell jokes to there's something more to what I do. I can do something actually more than, you know, just, which, you know, which I'm saying joke telling is amazingly hard, but it was like, oh my God, we took this from nothing and now it's something. And then it turned into the TV script deal, which unfortunately didn't go anywhere, but we wrote these two scripts that were, I think,
were funny, man. They're funny. I was thinking about the last draft of the last one we wrote.
Right.
Like the final thing.
No.
The other day, and I was like, that's funny, man. I kept thinking of like parts in it that were making me laugh.
Yeah, dude. I was thinking about the, you know, you the one where you got beat up by the girl. So funny.
Yeah. Yeah, that and the thing where Billy, I don't want to say too much, but the thing where Billy got caught at his job doing something he wasn't supposed to be doing, and that line where his boss goes, where Billy's trying to explain himself and his boss goes, Bill, I don't give a spit.
Yeah. I love the thing at the end. Remember the thing at the bank? I mean, where we caught the first script?
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of funny. I like the first script the best.
I like the last one.
Really?
Yeah, because I felt like the last one, I liked the first one, but I felt like the last one really captured the three of us and like, it was very New York. The last one was very, very New York and like, it just reminded me of the movie. It just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it was, I really liked that one a lot. I wish we could have made it.
Yeah, me too. I wish, well, maybe someday, maybe somebody will go, hey, you guys have anything? Nah, that will never happen. We're done. We're done working together.
It's over. Yeah, we're done. Bill, I'm never going to get married after this book comes out. I'll be living a... Oh, look who just walked in.
Hey, gnome. Gnomey.
No, where are you going?
I have to print something out.
Yeah?
Are we on the air?
Yeah, we're on the air. Hang on. Stop. all right, Gnome just entered the room.
You're going to
the owner of the Comedy Cellar and the host of one of my favorite podcasts. Live from the Comedy Cellar table.
You're going to join us on the podcast later on tonight?
I am going to join you, yes.
I just want to tell you, can you turn off the air conditioner when you leave?
I always do.
No, I came in and it was on today.
I did not turn that on. I wasn't here today.
Okay,
I did not come in here today, and the other day when I left, it was off.
Okay, but it was on when I came in.
I don't know who, I wasn't here.
It was one of your minions.
No, she wasn't here either.
All right,
okay. Maybe you left it on.
Maybe somebody came in and turned it on.
To try to make you look bad.
Look, man, I'm not the only one that comes in here, by the way. Let's not get carried away.
All
right. I'm not the only, I mean, I come in here, but I shut everything on. I clean everything. Everything's good. You really came in here to scold me about an AC? I had to turn a mic on for you?
I told you not to.
Get the fuck out of here.
You know, every time I see Gnome, he's got a drink in his hand. You know, there's a good chance, Gnome, you turned it on. You don't remember. You're a little drunk. Look, you stumbled up here to play
guitar.
But
he's a tattoo that all says the keep kicking him, K-K-I-N. Is that right?
Keep kicking him in the nuts.
Do you ever talk about that?
George Carlin said that to me. That's why I have it, because George Carlin said it.
He actually said it to a lot of people, Joe.
No, I know. He said it was the advice he gives comics, but I mean, he said it to me directly.
We're all getting that tattoo.
There were like 10 comedians at the table the other night just cracking up about this and making.
Yeah, because they're sad people, and they anytime somebody does something different or unique, they have to try to bury it.
Remember when I texted you later? I said, will you come down and do a set?
Yeah.
It was just because I wanted you to come down so we could make that's fun just, of the tattoo.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's mean.
So if I would have came down, you wouldn't have given me any money?
I would have given you money, a spot, and then, but everybody was just wanted.
Why
you?
Why
you really are just a mean, yeah, sad person?
Yeah, I was going to give you money.
Say it,
spot.
Say it, Joe. Say it, Joe.
Yeah,
Jew.
Yeah, Jew are idea. Really mean.
It was Nick Griffin.
Jew are really mean.
Nick Griffin.
Griffin.
What was Nick Griffin saying?
No, I don't remember.
Who's
who
Nick
was,
Griffin?
Was, listen, I got.
Who's Nick Griffin?
No, say who it was.
He's
so
a
I can.
Comedian.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Who? Say who it was. So I can get a nice trashing in right now.
Come on, say it.
Definitely Norton was talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Like Joe's out on that
Keith.
One. He's not doing that. He's not going to do that either.
Keith, I'll trash Keith.
I'll trash Keith. Not Norton.
I wouldn't trash Norton if I were you.
I'm going to leave Norton.
Yeah, let's leave Norton. I don't want to see that. What the fuck did you say about me?
I don't remember. And everyone knows Lynn Coplitz. Everybody
God. Lynn Coplitz trashed somebody?
Everybody was just laughing. I really
got to
go.
Hey, listen. Here's the deal. Don't ever blame me. There's a lot of people come up here, okay? Yeah. All the computers and the printers on the other side of that curtain. Okay?
Listen, my friends are there with Natterman.
Go.
Literally one of the meanest things anybody's ever said to me, what he just said.
Well, here's the thing that sucked about what he just said, is he said it expecting you and me to go, ha, 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 and it really hurt. Like, you,
yeah.
I could see it in your eyes. You were like,
oh, I know it hurt.
It hurt.
He's still there.
All right, Oz, relax.
I know. All right, Jew Oz. Hey, Jaws.
Yeah. Yeah, don't forget that Joe's an Arab. He doesn't like you instinctually. So,
It really is just one of the meanest things I've ever heard.
Oh, my God.
I think I'm just growing out of this comedy. I'm just growing out of it.
You're not growing out of it, dude.
A nice trashing, but it's just, you know.
Here's the thing. What's happening with the trashing that it's when someone you know that gives a shit about you does it, you're okay with it.
Right.
But when somebody you're kind of like, what the fuck about? Or maybe like, you don't know if Noam really likes you or not.
Yeah.
And he's going to set you up to come down here, make you be like, this is awesome. Noam's calling me. I like Noam. He's finally giving me spots. And then you come down here. It's just to get abused. That's almost like the fucking rape scene. In any rape scene movie.
Yeah. And I'm not,
I had no rape scene reference, by the way.
I'm tight with you. Yeah. I'm tight with Keith and Jimmy. Right. It's like if I'm getting trashed by you guys, I don't care.
Yeah.
It's funny. You're my pals. But when you start hearing Lynn and, you know, these peripheral people in your life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that don't. We're not tight. I don't call her on the phone.
Yeah, you have a book coming out. Who the fuck? What is Lynn doing? Kentucky something?
Yeah, bringing somebody lasagna somewhere. I'm going to go cook something for somebody.
Yeah, you're a published author, okay?
That's right.
I'm holding the book. Did you see the book, Noam? I'm holding the real book in my hand.
No, I don't see it.
Did you read it?
I read most of it.
What'd you think?
I told you, I think it was genius.
Can you say that on the mic, please?
Yeah.
Don't ruin my curtains.
I told you, I think it is genius.
That's the book right there.
But
that's the book.
Say it to both of us, Noam.
This is,
we
is
both
almost
wrote
like
it.
A copy I have. This is a.
No, that's actually embossed.
It's printed more nicely, yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
This is unbelievable.
The book.
The book is unbelievable.
But say it to both of us because we both wrote it.
Yeah, all three. B. Billy Burr and Joe DeRosa wrote it.
Whoever. I mean, it's funny how Robert kind of takes less credit for it when you guys are around. But I just want to say that.
What do you want to say? What do you want to say? Me and Joe DeRosa and Billy Burr every time?
Yeah, because
really.
You yell at me to say that about the goddamn movie.
That's a
every
movie.
Time, and I say
that's
it
different.
Every
that's
time.
A movie.
Every time.
I do too. With the movie, I do.
If I do radio in fucking Tallahassee and they go, we heard you have a movie, I go, what, me and Bobby Kelly and Bill Burr. Every fucking time I say it.
I do that. With this too, I always mention you guys.
Yeah. The book is genius. It's very, very honest.
Yes.
And it's real, and it's
and you're in it.
I'm in it. But
your story's
I think
in
gonna
it.
Be very successful.
And we got a big show coming up on the 16th over at the Village Underground.
Yes.
With me and Joe and Colin Quinn and Keith Robinson and Rich Voss. Noam's going to be there. That's Noam's Club. And it's the 16th of October.
Yes.
Right?
I.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
And Tuesday. Look on Twitter or my website or Joe's website, or we're going to be promoting this, or Laugh Button Live. Laugh yeah. Button.
You'll hear about it.
You'll hear about it, but we're going to have a big ass party where you're actually going to see the movie too. That's the best part about this thing we're putting together. The book is coming out when, Joe?
October 9th.
It's on pre-sale right now. If this show is out before October 9th, go get it. Pre-sale. Right. Go to my website, robertkellylive.com. Hit the Amazon button. Use the Amazon button on the Riotcast, the YKWD Riotcast site.
Yes.
And buy it. Pre-order it on iTunes.
Yes.
Buy more than one copy.
Yes. That's asking a little much, but yeah.
It's only
a,
buy more than one copy, because this is, if you're looking for a gift to give your pals, look, what do you get? Look, every Christmas, I don't know what to get people. I forget that really cool books, a guide type of thing, is a great book to give a friend.
Yeah, and this is one of those books. It's going to make you laugh a lot. It's very funny.
Right.
A friend of mine read one of the advanced copies.
Right.
And he was actually he majored in English and literature.
Right.
So I was, and he's got a great, and he's really funny. He's got a great sense of humor. So I was like, I want him to read it. And
right on.
But he's like, dude, I love it, man. He's like, it's so funny. And I mean, he was quoting stuff. And
right.
He loved it. So it was nice. so we think you're going to enjoy. And look, you don't have to be a guy to enjoy it either. I mean, we had
if you get
a lot of women have read this and really, our first editor was a female. She loved it. Writer for the New York Times that read this loved it. Like, it's, there are a lot of women that have read this book.
If you have a sense of humor, and you can, you'll like this book. All right. Even if you're uptight a little bit, it's going to be an interesting read, because this stuff, you know, we're the psychology in the book is real. You know, we add humor to it and we add funny to it, so it can, you can swallow it a little better. But you know, this stuff is, it's an interesting read to find out where men are really at.
Right.
And we're trying to help you out there.
Right.
Not run into the problems that we've run into or that we could have possibly run into in our lives. And we're not saying go cheat. No. We're not saying that. There is a way out at the end of it. There is love at the end of the tunnel. You'll have a kid and you'll have a family. And I mean, you'll still want to cheat, but you won't.
Yeah, but the book addresses that. We talk about all that stuff.
We talk about every fucking angle at it. And the way that, you know, we've worked our asses off and we're finally coming to the finish line of this.
Right.
We're scratching.
What?
We're scratching our way across this fucking finish line, me.
It can't. I mean, it's
hard.
It's so much.
It never ends.
Look, I've said to you before, I was like, the fact that the three of us came out of this thing friends still is a fucking miracle.
Yeah.
Because I mean, some of the worst fights
ever. ever
that I've ever had ever in my life. I don't mean just with you two. I mean ever that I've ever had.
Well, you know what's weird too, though, as I said to my wife, I said that me and you, especially, we worked well together.
Yeah.
When we sat down and we had ideas, we would just go back and forth with ideas, and we did have this cool machine that we built in my kitchen table or at your kitchen table that we would just sit down for a few hours and just wail this shit out, whether it be for the script or the, you know, you write this, I'll write that. And then we both go over each other's stuff and go through it line by line, just work it through and massage it.
Right.
And make it this thing. You know what I mean? We all went through each other's stuff. So, you know, we had a good machine going, though. Even though there was a lot of fucking, oh my God, arguments and, you know, which is, look, it's our personalities. We're all fucking bipolar. I think we all have these emotions that run hot and cold, and we're sensitive people. You know what I mean? I just,
yeah. It's what is popping over there? Do you hear that pop? Repeating pop noise?
Oh, it's no. He's still over there.
What are you doing? Fucking shooting Powerball numbers out of a tube? Anyway, all that, everything you said is true. But I mean, it's like, that was one of my favorite memory of writing the book, and I've told the story many times.
Yeah.
There's a chapter in the book. I don't want to say too much about what the chapter is, but I think the title of the chapter is Truth honesty and lying. It's the chapter about honesty and lying. It's, it's a big chapter in the book. Yeah. But I remember you and me writing that at your kitchen table.
Yeah.
Writing your section of it, because Billy wrote a separate section of it. Mm-hmm. But we were working on the section that was based on your experience, and we were sitting there writing and stuff. And, dude, I remember we were laughing so hard writing it, just going like, oh my God, this is fucking, it's so mean.
Yeah.
It's so fucking
We had a lot of laughs like that, though. Like, are we really fucking, put that down, motherfucker. Hit save, bitch. I remember a lot of those.
Jesus Christ, dude. And just this, there's a lot of stories in the book from our friends.
Yeah.
And that was fun, too, going around and recording. I remember recording Kumia's story and how fucking hard he was laughing and how dumb he was through the whole story. Just everything he was doing, he's going, I know, I'm the worst.
How about stupid fucking gnome?
Oh, I love it.
His story's the best.
I love
this story. That's my favorite story in the book.
Yeah, it's not. Gnomes is.
You know who that is? You know who fucking caught him? God.
Exactly.
That's who didn't want him. That's who fucking bagged him. God was like, really? You're going to do this? Really?
It's so funny. Gnome's story is hilarious. Keith's is
funny.
Ridiculous.
Voss's is good.
Voss's.
Yeah. Opie, yeah. All
Opie's,
of them are.
Opie's is I love Opie's. Opie's is like. It is just like, I don't want to give away. If I say what I love about Opie's, it's going to give away too much about the
story. That's the best part about this book. We have, in between these chapters, to separate the chapters, we put true cheat stories in from, all of our, our friends, I would say. They gave us true cheat stories, and they're fucking great. Yeah. They're real stories of how they got caught, or and we judge them at the end. Did they succeed or did they fail? Right?
Yes.
And
it's a great. It's funny.
Yeah, it's really funny.
And that's the rawest part of the whole. I think the actual stories are the rawest part of the book, because without those stories, I think a lot of it would. It's all very. Everything is true in the book.
Yeah.
But I think without those stories, you could read it and go, oh, this is theorizing, and this is this, and this is that.
Yeah.
But when you read those stories, you're like, holy shit, this is real. Like, guys do this shit. This is for real. And they're the rawest thing in the book. And that's, surprisingly to me, Shimon and Schuster, I think, reacted the most strongly to that stuff. Like,
yeah.
I was like, oh, that's cool. They get it. Like, they get it. They get why that's cool to have in there.
You
got to
give Shimon and Schuster some credit. They do have balls to take this book. Because we didn't give him a fucking Urban Outfitters version of this book.
No, it's all in there.
It's all in there, man. Good or bad, whether it's, I don't know. This podcast might have to be taken down. And me and Joe are going to live in fucking Asheville, fucking selling dirty rocks to people. But this book comes out the beginning of October, I think. What is it? October
9th.
October 9th, this comes out. I'm getting eye surgery that day.
Yes. Yeah, Jesus I'm sorry Christ. To hear that. I know. It's so weird that you're getting eye surgery the day your book comes out. Like, you can't even look at your book.
Well, God's going to take an eye because of this book. Please, God, don't do this. Please.
I've been having hand pain. I think I'm going to have to get my writing hand amputated.
Oh, God, please, God, just let it happen. So, it comes out the 9th. The 16th, we're having a big bash.
Yeah.
So make sure you check out our Twitters and Facebooks and all that to find out where that is. It's going to be at the Village Underground to buy tickets. We're going to show the movie there.
Yep.
It's going to be awesome. Cheat. And then you get the book, I think, with the ticket price. You're going to get a book.
Hopefully.
We're working that out.
Yeah, hopefully
If that not,
works.
You'll be able to buy the book there.
Yeah, we'll have it for sale.
We're going to sign it. Colin's going to be there. Voss, Gnome, everybody's going to be there.
Keith, give it a book or you can buy one. That's great, Rob.
See? I don't know if anybody can hear Gnome, but do you hear
him? You can't hear him. He's a mean. You're either going to get the book with the ticket price for the show, or you're going to buy one.
Or it'll be a cheaper ticket, and then you can buy the book.
Right. We're working that out.
Yeah. So, but either way, at the very least, what you're getting is a screening of this movie, a killer show, and a chance to buy the book. This is going to be a killer night.
It sucks that on the day Gnome got caught cheating, he didn't fly there from Boston. You have to read the book to get that joke.
It's nice and evil. I like it.
It's a bad joke.
I like
but,
it.
But, Joe, it was a blast, man.
It's great being back, man.
I like it.
Yeah, it was
I
nice.
I like it, man.
It was nice, dude.
It was fucking great having you back, dude.
It was nice.
You got to come back on. We'll do some old school, some of this, and do some movie reviews.
I'd love to do that.
Talk
I'd
about some movies and... talk about some scripts and stuff like that. Because next time you come back, I want to talk about Woody Allen, dude. I did a Woody Allen marathon.
Oh, you did?
And it ended with what's the one with the with Peter Falk, the Sunshine Boys.
Oh, he didn't write that. That movie's terrible. He didn't write or direct that. That's a terrible movie. That's a remake. The Sunshine Boys is a play,
right.
And they did the proper film adaptation is. Yeah, George Burns and Walter Matthau, and then they remade it. That is very, very bad.
Fucking. You know who's in it? Your fucking sweetheart.
Yeah, I know. That's JP.
Oh yeah, she looks good in that one.
She looks great.
Her hands still look fucking like cryptic. Like she was.
Well, what other movie Allen's did you watch?
I watched. Let's go over it next time. I'll go over the list of them. All right. I watched Netflix. Whatever Netflix have, and then I rented a couple.
Yeah.
And I fucking loved it. My favorite was. What's the one where the manager there? He was the manager.
Broadway Danny Rose.
Broadway Danny Rose was fucking great.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
That was
it.
Great. All right, so next time we come on, we'll chat about that.
All right,
and
man.
You'll tell me why this guy is the best. And I watched the documentary on him, too.
That documentary is really good.
It was really good.
The two-part thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, well, I want to know how he gets pussy. That's what I want to know.
He's been famous since he was fucking 23 or whatever.
We got to talk about
that's
that.
That's about it.
All right, so go to at Joe DeRosa Comedy. Joe, it was a blast having you back. Dangerous Joe, motherfucker.
Thanks for having me back, brother.
Thanks for being back, man. You guys wanted it. You got it. Dangerous Joe back on the show. Make sure you check out our book, Cheat, A Man's Guide. You can buy it on Amazon. You can go to Simon & Schuster. .com. You can buy it on iTunes. You can go to the store and get it if you want. Go to the store. Get an actual fucking copy of it. Don't do that digital shit.
It's going to be in the stores.
Yeah.
Yeah. So go get it wherever, man. We're excited.
All right, man. You know what, dude?
Sit your ass down. It's time for Tech Talk. Tech Talk. Tech Talk. You know what, dude? Tech Talk. With Bobby and Joey.
All right, Joe, we're here. You know, we left real quick, but we're going to do a oldie but goodie.
Yeah.
Something we created together.
Yeah.
At the end of our shows.
I remember.
Tech Talk with Bobby and Joe. How'd it go?
Tech Talk. I would go Tech Talk, and then you would do the other part.
With what?
You would say.
I would say what?
I would say Tech Talk, and then you would go with Bobby and Joe. You would sing that part.
I would sing that part.
Yeah. And then I would say, don't sing that part.
Okay, ready? We're going to do Tech Talk. Ready? You go.
No.
All right, ready? Here we go. Didn't we do this too?
Yeah.
All right, let's do this. Ready?
It's Tech Talk.
With Bobby and Joe.
There you go.
You hate that.
Joe, right? You didn't go up high like that.
Joe.
That's a new version. You go with Bobby and Joe.
Okay, let's do it again. Ready?
Tech Talk.
With Bobby and Joe.
No. Oh,
you just hate it still?
Thanks.
You don't like it? All right, so let's do this Tech Talk, man.
I can't believe how much you can't sing.
I really am a fucking... I am an asshole. I fucking can't carry a tune. If they had my wife and they were going to behead her, if I had to sing something, it would just be over. So what do you got, man?
Well, obviously, we're both very excited, as most people are, about the new iPhone.
Oh, my God.
And I had a pair of headphones.
Yeah.
And they broke, and I had to go into the Apple store. I was like, you know, I need a new pair of headphones. I got to send these Bose back to the manufacturer.
Right.
That's going to take weeks. Oh, I need headphones. In the meantime, you know, let me just get the standard iPod, iPhone headphones, the $30 Apple iPhones. So they pull out these.
Ooh, let me see.
And... I'm like, wait a minute, what are these? And they're like, these are the new ones that are coming out with the 5, but we're selling them now.
Wow.
So, standard Apple earbuds, which a lot of people tend to stray from because they go, nah, I want something better, da da da. Let me tell you something. These things are $30. I've had a bunch of different headphones that range anywhere from $50 to $60 to $140. These things... I can't even justify jumping a $30 difference between these and the other ones that I've had. I can't. These sound great. If you can see here in the design, They took away, it used to just be the speaker here with the rubber thing around it that would always peel off and it stunk and it broke. They took that away. Now they're just this contour shape to fit into your ear. They stay in way better. They don't get gunk on them because they don't have the rubber. There's nothing to peel off or break. Three speaker holes, boom, boom, boom. Fuller sound. This is much more responsive now. It just works better. Like the guy was telling me the stories, like, you know, there's no more like, did it pause? Wait, did I pause it? What, you know,
right.
It just works.
That's the pause, forward, volume up, volume down?
Yeah, and the track skip and all that stuff.
That's great.
Just
as light?
Yeah, just as light. Maybe even a little lighter. And that's really it, man. The mic sounds way better. It's very
clear. I heard you today, and it was really clear. I thought you were on your phone.
Yeah, no more of that underwater whatever sound. But these are great, man. And I'm telling you, it's all that headphone stuff. It's like I've heard all these headsets, and some of them sound really good. But there's no way in hell it's worth spending an extra $30 to $200.
Right.
It's just not that big of a jump. It's just not. You know, unless you're an athlete and you need something where it's like, I'm going to run vigorously. Here's the other thing I like about these two. They stay in your ear, but they don't have that noise isolation rubber thing on them.
Right.
Where you feel like you, where you hear yourself breathing.
Yeah.
Which, because anybody that knows, that lives, you've said this before, you live in a major city, it's like, that's dangerous, man.
Yeah, you get killed. You get taken out by a cab.
Yeah, exactly. So buy these, $30, and or you get the iPhone 5, they're going to come with it.
But so these headphones, new iPhone headphones, they've been getting a little panned, but you're saying they're worth the money, $30.
Yeah.
They're great.
They're great.
All right, I'm going to get them. Go to the Apple store.
Yes, any Apple store has them.
And now you can walk in with the Apple app and just buy them.
You know what? You can't yet.
Really?
These are so new. I tried to do that with the Apple app, and it wasn't working. And They're like, oh, we don't. That's not in the app yet. They're so new.
All right, so
really
check them out.
I felt like, woo, I got them fresh, man.
Ooh, fresh. I love fresh tech. It's like fresh, young
fresh
pussy.
Tech.
All right, man. Well, that was
Tech Talk
with Bobby and Joe.
That was it. You got it.
You know what, dude?
Don't stop filming my face. Don't stop.